Well, once again, good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Fisherman Ministries Northfield Falls Sunday service. So I would say it was a lovely weather day, but, you know, we're just getting tired of the rain and the snow and the slush. And so I look forward to spring. I wouldn't have a problem if spring, if the seasons stayed within their allocated time. But anyway, I'd like to read a couple of scriptures this morning. I'd like to start with Ephesians 4, 22 to 32. So that's Ephesians 4, 22 to 32. And then I'm going to go over to Hebrews 6, and I'll see where I'm going to start on there. But I'd like to, those things have kind of been on my mind for the last day or so. So, Ephesians 4, 22. Let me start at 21. If it so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let not bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away. Let all bitterness, wrath, and anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. I'm going to go over here to Hebrews for a moment. Hebrews 6, and I'm just going to go to 4 here. For it's impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gifts and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them unto repentance, seeing they crucified them to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame. You know, one of the things that happens, and I'm going to speak from my experience because, well, frankly, it's easy to speak from my experience because I have a lot of this stuff in my life, unfortunately. But, you know, one of the things that was a real eye-opener to me many, 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 many years ago was the fact that the way that I die and the fact of the way that I, what attitudes I have, if I enter into heaven, are going to be there when I enter into heaven. Now, I know that one of the things I struggle with, you know, I struggle with the things that we talk about in Ephesians. You know, I struggle with this because, and I'm going to probably safely say everybody struggles with this at some point in their life. I allow the old man, you know, Jesus Christ talks about taking off the old man, about removing the old man from me. And I was meditating on this today, and it was like, well, why do I have to put off the old man? I know when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior a very long time ago, almost 34 years ago, there was a freshness that I had. There was a newness of life that I had. There was the birds are singing and the sun was shining. Of course, I was in Arizona, so the sun was shining. Okay, there was not a cloud in the sky. But over time, what happened was I allowed that old man to come back into my life. I allowed that old man to creep into my life, and I did not allow myself to put away that old man. And what kind of meditated on me today was that, why is it important that I put off that old man? You know, why is it not that I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and all these things came off of me, or all these change in my life happened at a very short period of time? Why could not the Lord keep on doing that for me? You know, why did I have to now put off that old man? Why did I have to die to that old man? And you know, if you look at it, the Lord is willing to take these things off of us. But I know for myself, I, being who I am, like to justify myself by holding on to these things. And I, in myself, like to feel righteous in these things. But the Lord really showed me something on this. You know, if I accepted the Lord, let's say the Lord took away all these things from me, and I entered into heaven. And this is where the Hebrews comes in. I entered into heaven. If I hadn't had to fight that battle, if I hadn't had to fight that struggle to put off those things and to reject those things, you know, reject the anger, the bitterness, the envy, the strife, and all those things of the flesh, if I had died and gone to heaven, who's not to say I would have grabbed hold of those things again? See, by fighting and removing those things here, I mean, we're utterly rejecting that. You know, we're putting that away from us because, frankly, it sucks, for a polite word. It really is awful. You know, if I can sit here now and I can put those things off and I can fight those things and get rid of them, when I enter into heaven and there is no temptation, there is no flesh to pull me down, it's going to be easy not to ever want to pick those traits up. But if the Lord had simply delivered them from me, you know, I would have gone into heaven and who knows, I may have missed them. I may have tried to pull them back to me. And of course, the sad thing is that once you enter into heaven, if you sin, well, there's a one-way ticket out. You know, I know that when I struggle with these things, you know, things happen, and, you know, I know before I moved here, you know, I was living in la-la land with the Lord. I mean, it was a wonderful thing, okay? I really didn't have to deal with any of the issues that I had to deal with. Well, because, frankly, I didn't have any Christians around, and the Lord kept me in a bubble. And kept in a bubble for like 12 years. I moved here, and then at the point I moved here, that bubble started to pop. And I started dealing with things. 20 years later, I'm still dealing with these things. Okay. I still get in these attitudes where someone will, frankly, piss me off because they say something. And I'll go around stewing on about it for weeks. Now, I know that no one else in this room does this sort of thing, or listening does these sort of things. But what happens is, I can't speak for you. But what happens until I'm willing to let go of this. You know, the fact that it irritates me demonstrates that it is a problem. Okay. You know, it's like, you know, the old days, sticks and stones will hurt my bones, but names will never hurt me. Words will never hurt me. Well, frankly, sometimes those sticks and stones would probably feel better than the words that that hurt. You know, because at least you know you're going to eventually heal to a certain point. But you know, the thing is that we have to let go of the things that the Lord tells us to. You know, I have to be willing to let go of it. And frankly, love, which is a very tough thing to do, I have found in my life, agape love that is willing to suffer the wrong that the world gives us, and is willing to accept the correction that is necessary. You know, if the world was kind and generous to us, why would I ever want to leave? Why would I ever want to leave this world? Why wouldn't I want to go to heaven? I mean, personally, the closer I believe I move to the Lord, frankly, the worse I hate this world, because there's nothing in it. There's no love. There's no hope. You know, it offers me temporary pleasure and food and shelter and some of these other things, but, you know, there's nothing. There's hatred, there's malice, there's deceit, there's lying, there's all these things that, frankly, as I get older, they really, really, really anger me. So why would I want anything that this world offers? You know, why would I not want to put off the old man? I know putting off the old man hurts. I mean, not physically, but, you know, emotionally, I guess, for lack of a better word. I mean, it's painful. I like the old man to a point. But I realize that if I'm not willing to put that old man off, if I ever enter into heaven, I'm not going to stay there if I allow that old man to come with me. And it's a tough thing. It's a very tough thing to... Once you recognize it, you'll realize why it's so important to do that. Why it is so important to put off that old man. And, you know, hopefully for me, when I get angry or bitter or some other of these things, instead of lasting years, they last weeks. I'm not at that point. Steve said minutes. I'm not at that point yet. Okay. Weeks, or I mean, go, instead of years, I allow them to go down to months. Instead of months, I allow them to go down to weeks. Instead of weeks, to days, and days, minutes, and or hours, or whatever. You know, the point is that I have to be willing to let those things go quickly. Because I've learned, and I know this is a hard thing, the only person that is miserable in the whole thing is me. You know, I don't know if anybody's ever said something to you and you've gotten an attitude, the other person doesn't have miserable. I am. And I don't know why I like to stay in there sometimes, because it frankly sucks. You know? I don't like it, but yet I like to dwell in there for some reason. Steve said it's called pride. Okay. You know, the Lord is calling us. The Lord is purifying us. You know, let us stand fast in that and be willing to let go of these things. You know, when the Church of Philadelphia fully stands up, or the people that the Lord has called fully stand up, you know, they're going to go forth in the way of the Lord. You know, in Jesus Christ, when he went forth, he didn't go forth in any of these things. And if we want to be part of that body that goes forth, then we need to go forth as the way the Lord did. And I know that right now I'm not quite there. I'm at the weak stage right now when people make me mad. So I need to get to the second stage before I'm ready to go on. Actually, the nanosecond stage. So there's a few more times I need to get rid of. But, you know, the Lord is purifying us. The Lord is purging us. The Lord is separating. You know, let us not be part of the chaff that gets blown away. You know, the only way that we're going to go forth, the only way that we're going to survive is if we cling fast to the vine. You know, if we can't produce that love, the Lord will purge us. And part of that, you know, in part of that purging, well, in the Lord keeping us in that vine is purging us from the things that we cling on to in the flesh.
You know, it's an interesting thing in our articles of faith. Our preamble, if you will, to our articles of faith is a verse out of 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10. And it says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." First Corinthians 1:10. Now that takes a lot of humility to stand and walk in that place. Can you imagine what it would be like if when we came into contact with people, no matter who they went to in this fellowship, they always got the same answer? Now, mind you, we all know that, I mean, we live in diverse places, we're scattered around the world and different things like that, so it's impossible for us to kind of gather ourselves and communicate and make sure we give the same answer. But if we actually just gave the same answer because we were perfectly joined together in the same mind, and mind you, that's not your mind, that's the mind of Jesus Christ, and in the same judgment, and that is, our judgment is not our own, but it's the Father who sent us. Now, Charlie was talking about, refining and things like this, and it's an interesting thing over in Psalm 12, verses 7 and 8, well, 6 and 7, excuse me. It says, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." That's a promise of God that he'll keep that word. But the point I wanted to hit on is, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Now, I wanted to hit on that because if we're going to hit on 1 Corinthians 1:10, where we all speak the same thing, you know what we have to go through? We have to go through that refining process where the dross gets removed. And did it say one time? The dross, I think they call it, but whatever it's called. And did it say one time over here? Or did it say seven times? It said seven times. Now, I mention this because when you're a Christian, you go through this refining process and you make it through. You know, a lot of times you feel a lot better because you've gotten rid of something. And there's an actual distinct experience in which you can see how you've moved forward in the Lord and left behind some of those things that are not of God. But the idea that you just keep going through it Well, a lot of people see that as just drudgery and hateful and not something to be joined to. That's just terrible. That God wouldn't be like that. He wouldn't be like that. That's not the God of love, people think. Okay, and therefore what they do is they get offended at the process and they leave. Because they don't like finding out that inside, man, there's some nasty stuff. But the beauty is, and this is this critical moment. I mean, I remember with Charlie many times. Charlie's one of these guys who, unless you get Charlie really angry, you got to get Charlie really angry before the truth comes out about what he's thinking about something. So Charlie and I live together. And people who know me know that, I guess, I have this effect on people without realizing it. I have the ability to get people really angry. Somehow or other, it seems like it's something that happens with me. And when Charlie was living with us, and Rick will remember this, I think he's out there maybe listening, but Rick will certainly remember it. There were a couple of times where I thought for sure I had seen the last of Charlie. I mean, I thought that day he got so angry. I was about as absolutely certain as I could be that that was that the next day Charlie was going to be gone. And what happened in each of those instances is the next day Charlie came down and testified of a deliverance that he had received. And instead of leaving and fleeing, he moved forward. But I'll tell you what, I mean, the kind, if you'd been around during that and been in the midst of it and had to deal with that, I mean, that was tough. That was tough as a minister. That was tough to see my brother go through that. It was tough on a lot of different levels. It's one of the reasons why Charlie likes to talk about refining. You know, he talks about the refining. You always hear Charlie talk about this. Charlie's been through it, and he's not done going through it. I think he wishes he was done going through it. He's been hoping that he would never have to go through it again. But the fact of the matter is, I don't know the person who's done going through that. At least I'm not aware. I mean, I know for myself, the idea that I'm done going through that, shoot, man, it seems to me like the kettle just stays on a boil, kind of like if you ever hear there's some Chinese restaurants like in Hong Kong that have had this sauce going that they just keep working on for like over 100 years. It's insured for like $1 million and stuff like that. I mean, it's really true. I don't know all the details. I forget what they are, but literally, it just, they never let it stop. Somehow or other, if you let it stop, it's going to destroy their uniqueness. You know, if you wash that pan or something. So it's continuously going. Right? I mean, myself, I feel like my life's a lot of times that way. I mean, it's just a continuous simmer, if you will, with stuff coming out and dealing with it. And, you know, the truth of the matter is that there's insecurity in that. There's sometimes frustration. There's sometimes anger. There's sometimes a bunch of different things. But the one thing I've learned in the midst of it is I'd much rather be in that place than if the fire were turned off. I don't want the fire to turn off. I want the fire to be there and working in my life to draw this stuff out, because there's so much stuff in there, some of which I know, and then there's all those things I was blissfully ignorant of until they came up. And then it's like, ew. I didn't realize that was there. But that idea of that refining fire and how it works and it brings things out, it's actually the love of God working in us. All right. And it was funny, this morning I looked out, and we'd had some snow last night and then some sleet and some rain. And I mean, it is, you walk out in my driveway and you put your boot down and there's like an inch and a half of water and slush and other stuff that's just covering it. It is nasty. And you know, it's funny, Vermont, I mean, every place you go to, there's seasons that are more attractive than others. You know, people come up here for leaf peeping to see the colors in Vermont. People come here to see the green mountains and escape the heat in the summer. And people come up here to see the beautiful white snow-capped hills and everything like that and go skiing. People don't come up here for mud season, man. Let me tell you, I mean, spring, which here we call mud season, is not something that people come up for. When summer hits is actually what most people think of as spring. It's what it looks like here in Vermont. And so, all of us have this. I mean, I don't care who you are. We all have our seasons of our lives that aren't too pretty, right? And the thing is, what that gives us as people is the opportunity in the midst of that to exercise ourselves in love. Why? Because when one another are going through those seasons, the truth be told, we're not very lovable, are we? I mean, it isn't very lovable at all. And so we have that opportunity. And, praise God for that. It's never a comfortable time. Don't hear me wrong. It's never a comfortable time. But it's a good time. I mean, most of us here, with the exception of my four little ones here, have some years on us. And most of you listening out there have some years on you. And one of the things that happens when we've got some years is we've got some experience. And because we have that experience there, we all know that we've had these seasons ourselves. Right? And we've all had them. It's just a reality. And I ask you, when you look back on it, and you look back at things where the most precious lessons you have learned have come from, have they not always come from just such seasons? I mean, the times that were the absolute hardest, where you thought you could not go on. And the lessons that came out of those experiences are the ones that endure and help you to go forward. And not only for yourself to go forward, but to minister unto others that they can go forward. Isn't that how it works? So look, I don't want us to, how would I say, I don't want us to get all hung up about these things. I want us to go forward. I want us to learn from these experiences and choose to come through. Now, in Peter, go over to 1 Peter chapter 1 for a moment. And ladies, had like a false alarm. They're all getting up here. And maybe it's me who had the false alarm and I was supposed to stop. But if I was, forgive me. In 1 Peter, and we went through, Peter's Bible study was pretty good. And keep in mind, Peter's thing here is to the Jews, but I just want to start here to look again at from verse 3, and I want to take you through a part. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again. This is referring to the Jews who had been begotten of God, and now God is begetting them again, and in that there's a recognition of an extraordinary grace that God has extended unto them. And he goes on, which hath begotten us again according to his abundant mercy, so not because of anything we did, hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. A lively hope. A hope that continues to, it's like that spring that never stops. A lively hope. All right, if you've lost that lively hope, go back to the source of that lively hope. David did. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Restore it unto me. Okay, but you don't get there by thinking you're all justified and right and everybody else is wrong. Okay, you don't get there in that. That's the one that departs. The one that gets there is the one that recognizes no matter how painful it is, and no matter how much you want to believe that I am absolutely right and everybody else is wrong, the one who gets through it is the one who goes, and all you have to do is look at Jesus to know this. You don't have to look at anybody you know. All you have to do is look at Jesus. If you look at Jesus and you compare yourself to him, are you right? I mean, come on, folks. I mean, forget about every other person in the universe for a moment. And just look at him. And when you look at him, is there not a whole bunch of stuff to repent of and to be, Lord, forgive me and have mercy upon me? I mean, is that not the truth? So he goes, unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I mean, think of that. Is that not the most extraordinary event that has ever happened on earth? I mean, that's more extraordinary than let there be light. That's more extraordinary than, you know, the creating the sun and the moon and the stars. It's more extraordinary than all of that. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I think it's, it's Rise Again. It's that Dallas Holmes song. Man, if you ever get a chance, go listen to that song tells it. Ain't no power on earth gonna keep me down. You know, I'll rise again. And he rose again. To what? To an inheritance incorruptible. It means it cannot be corrupted. It cannot be corrupted and undefiled, and that fadeth not away. Everything we see here, every person we see here, every plant, every animal, everything we see fades away. So he's begotten us again to an inheritance. This is speaking of for us, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven. See, what happens to us is we get all too caught up about all the stuff on this earth. All too caught up about it. It's the most important thing, don't you know? I mean, is there any... I'm going to miss something here. It can be a boy, it can be a girl, it can be a whatever, it doesn't matter. It can be a career, it can be an education, it can be money. I mean, one of the most amazing things, and you know, there's a story we've all read, we've all probably seen, it's called It's a Wonderful Life. And the one element I love about that story, and it's not, you know, that story's not of God in the sense, I mean, they got Joseph and they got all these different things. It's not of God, but this element is beautiful about that story. His whole life was about things happening up, which meant he had to defer his desires and instead do that which was right. And every time he did, it was a sadness. It was a sadness. And it was hard. He had a life full of, from when he was his youth up, of instances where he chose to, rather than do what he wanted to do that which was right in that situation. And he didn't see any purpose in any of it. He didn't see anything, that any good that came of it. He couldn't see how there was, all he could see is all the things that had passed him by, nothing that had been good that had come of it. And he gets the opportunity to see the good that came of those decisions. He gets to see that his brother lived. He gets to see that people had homes. He gets to see a little girl who loved him from her youth up got to marry the man of her dreams, which was that man who deferred. And it comes down. It comes down in the end. To finally, when he had a need, and he was ready to give up his life, he was ready to take it because he had seen no use to any of it. When he was in that spot, God moved, and people came to him, which I wish I could say that that was that common, that people actually come to you in that time of need. I wish I could say that that was my general experience. The truth of the matter is, it's not. My general experience is that people are glad to see you go down. I'm not even talking about outside of the fellowship. I'm talking about just in the fellowship. I mean, we as people, it's amazing how we love to see other people fall. We love to see these things and feel better about ourselves in some other way. And that is not of God. Let me tell you, folks, that is not of God. But we have an inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, but it's reserved in heaven. And if you don't get to heaven, you're not getting it. You're not getting it. And they go on. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. See, through faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So you have to exercise yourself in faith. Faith is in those things you cannot see. In other words, that's going to be hard. Because you can see all sorts of things. But to take this word and to follow that word and to believe that word in a world in which just about nobody does it and nobody's going to be patting you on the back for doing it and to choose to do it anyways, that's the faith. Who are kept by the power of God through faith. See, there's no way you could do it. There's no way you can do it on your own. The only way you can do it is by the power of God. And the only way you're going to see that power of God move is if you cleave unto Him by faith. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. I mean, you're going to have to be patient, folks. You're going to have to be patient because it's not happening today. Next week, it's not going to be manifest. Next year, it very well may not be manifest. It may be years down the road. So what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Now watch. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, we greatly rejoice in that hope. Though, now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. That means they're all over the place. And you know what? You go through a Vermont field where there's cattle. You know, what do you see in the spring? And it's beautiful. You look out and it's green and yellow. Wait a second. It's green and what? Yellow. And what's the yellow? We call them dandelions. They're a weed. You know what I'm saying? They're a weed. But fact matters, you know, a lot of weeds look pretty daggone good, don't they? When we think they look, man, those are pretty. You know, and if you don't get rid of the weeds, you can never get the better thing. Because the weeds steal from the better thing. They'll kill you. That's why you got to get rid of this stuff. And it goes on, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Whom having not seen, ye love. Now watch that. Whom having not seen, ye love. That is hard, folks. That is hard. Okay, if you want to go back to 1 Corinthians 1:10, where it said we all speak the same thing, walk in the same mind, same judgment. Okay, you can't do that without love. Okay, you can't do it without love. You can't do that without humility. You can't. Just an impossibility. And the way we get rid of those things and we come to love is we pass through this refining fire. See, that's God's love. That refining fire is God's love. And when you submit yourself unto that, it's going to bring up some stuff that ain't going to be pretty. It's going to draw some stuff out that you wish, are embarrassed even, that it's there. Certainly wish nobody else could see that it's there. Just the nature of it. But you know what? That's when he, if you'll stay there, that's when he removes that dross. It's a cool down again after doing it. And you know what he has to do again then? After he's let it cool down and everything, and everything sets. And, you know, you're thinking, it's looking pretty good now. Right? Looking pretty good now. I'm not quite there, but I'm looking pretty good. And then comes the heating up again. And the heating up again comes, and it comes out again, and you're like, ew. But the fact of the matter is, that is his love. That's his love at work in your life. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to reject it? Are you going to be thankful for it? So he goes on, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, it, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing. Do you follow that? Yet believing. That is a choice. And I'll tell you what, it is an easy choice to not believe. That doesn't take any effort at all. That doesn't hurt at all. But choosing to believe, that one can hurt. Yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. So folks, there's no way around this. This is the process. If we submit ourselves under that process, this is the end. If we don't, then that inheritance that he had for us, you're never going to get. May the Lord bless you.